Did y'all enjoy lunch? Was it good? Did you enjoy the cupcakes? Yeah. I didn't get one yet. There better be some left over. I'm sure there are because Jessica always overdoes what she's supposed to be doing. Our last speaker is going to come, Stephanie. Our retreat's almost over. I hope you've learned something. I want you to open your hearts again and listen to Stephanie and just really, really let the Lord speak to you, you know, so that you really can see what He wants in your life. Not what you want, but what He wants for you. Okay, Stephanie.
I enjoyed lunch, and I thank you because I just have to be a problem child, so I really appreciate the gluten-free. That was just wonderful. And I thank you for everything. I love your church. I love you ladies. I thank you. My name is Stephanie Householder, and my husband and I run Circle of Hope Girls Ranch and boarding school, and I just assume, because I live it every day, that people just know. So Miss Eileen asked me to speak a little bit about, do I see what God sees in the girls? And she said that I have to have the vision, and I'll be very honest with you, most of the time I do not have the vision. She got these GOs, and this is what I see when they come in. They come in, we got a new girl this last Tuesday, and she's not quite 14, and I was in the Navy, and I cussed like a sailor. I honestly did. I was pretty bad. This girl is worse than I ever was. In the state of Missouri, we're allowed to restrain them when they become physically violent. We've had to restrain her 3 times since she's been here because she's threatened us. She's threatened herself. She's like I said, cusses out. So it's a tough ministry. Their parents bring them to us when they're out of control. When the parents can see where they're headed is not good. Some of these girls have told me that they would be dead already if they hadn't have come to us. Some of them would be worse. So that's what we do. I had to learn a really tough lesson. I was telling Miss Eileen that we had a girl, she'd been with us 6 months. The entire time she was with us 6 months, we were her parents' enemy. Don't understand why they would bring them to us if they're gonna fight us, and they did. I mean, they hated. I'd get off the phone and I'd be shaking because mom was just so belligerent to me. They took their daughter, and 6 months later they called us back and said, would you take her back? She's in jail. My husband drove to Muskogee to pick this girl up. The entire trip from Muskogee to Humansville, the girl cussed and spit and kicked, and she was just mean. I mean, she'd sit there and she'd just look at me, and I'd walk by her, and one day I walked by her and I thought, oh, I hate her so much. I hate her attitude. I just hate her. And as I walked by to go cook hamburgers on the grill, I didn't know I was in for a battle. And I stood there flipping hamburgers going, I hate her. And God said, but you must love her. And I said, no, I don't have to love her. You do, God. I don't. And He said, no, you must love her. No, not me. I said, that girl's not lovable. Needless to say, when I got done flipping hamburgers, my heart had changed. The Lord gave me a little saying that said, if the lovable could love the unlovable, then why can't the unlovable love the lovables? And that's posted all over our dining hall to remind me that I'm just as unlovable as they are. And when I look back to who I was those girls. What you see today is definitely not where I was. Many of you probably wouldn't even look twice at me. I wasn't pierced or tattooed, but I definitely was not the lovable. I was raised in an abusive family. There's many of their stories I could tell the same. And I don't always see the inside and the hurt. And there is a lot of hurt in these young ladies. And a lot of them, that's why they act out. So that's the ranch. My testimony is I was in the Navy. the Lord sent me. I was not saved, but my husband was. But he was not living for the Lord. And I know the Lord allowed the circumstances to put us together to get my husband to live for the Lord. And I got saved, not one person ever knocked on my door, handed me a tract, ever spoke to me about the Lord. But the Lord allowed my little son, well, I take that, my in-laws did. But other than them, no one, but they prayed for me. My husband and I actually looked at them one day and said, we will never speak to you again. And we moved to Florida. They lived in Virginia. They called my husband one day to say his mother was in the hospital. And my husband said, I don't have a mother. He says, your mother's in the hospital, my mother. That's how bad we were. That's how bitter we were. Through that time, our little three-year-old son wanted to listen to Jesus music. And that's the last thing I wanted to listen to was Jesus music. But I did. And the Lord used the preaching on the radio through a series of months to save me. I did not know what happened, but my husband noticed something was different because I continued to listen and the Lord continued to change my heart. And one day he looked at me and you all know my husband. He went, woman, what happened to you? Well, this is what happened and this is what I did. And he went, you got saved. And the Lord changed his heart and he changed my life. And that's what he wants to do with these girls. I have a funny story to tell you, but I have a prayer request first. One of our young ladies came to us. She was 13 when she came to us. And she got saved. And she's really trying to live for the Lord. She comes from a divorced family, and her mother does not want her with us. Her mother has tried to get custody of her. That didn't work. She's tried to get visitation so they'd have to take her out and take her back to Texas. That did not work. So now, mom is attacking, and she is calling us a cult, and we are brainwashing this young lady, so she's trying to get her out. So I would ask you to pray for Brandy and her family. Her father and stepmother are trying to live for the Lord, and we're ministering to them as well as to this young lady. So pray for us and pray for her. And then a funny story, and then we'll get into. I had a young lady that got very bitter. Miss Adria will remember this one. And it, Chrissy, when you grabbed your purses, it reminded me, you know where I'm going, don't you? She got very angry at me because I am a pretty blunt and straightforward person, and I was sharing with her one day in my sweet, quiet tone that I thought she was a fake and that she wasn't who she thought she was. And she went back home. Do you remember this? Okay. And she went back home and looked at one of our other girls, and she had a purse on her thing, and she said, I'm going out to feed the goat. And they found her in Las Vegas, Nevada the next time we saw her. So when you grabbed your purse, I'm thinking, I'm ready to go feed the goat too. That is one of our jokes. If things get really stressful, we go to feed the goat, and I have my purse. So we have to joke because some of the times it's very difficult. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. I don't see these girls anything but this when they come in. They're rough, they're dirty, they're chipped, they're scratched, they're angry, they're bitter, they're hateful. Some of them know how to polish themselves up and look kind of nice for a season. Psalms 139:13 through 17 says, For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I have to remember that with these girls, because some of the times they are so unlovable, and they are so mean, and I have to remind myself that they're one of God's children too. Even if they're not saved yet, he loves them. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O my God, O God. These girls are rough material. Shannon talked about the clay. Well, I've looked at them as like rocks that God wants to make into a gem for his use. He wants to make them beautiful. He can see what's in here, and he knows how to open it. They're ugly. They're belligerent. They have bad attitudes. They're angry. They curse. They're defiant. Sometimes I look at them as defective, useless, worthless. I really do. We have to use many, many, many tools to get through to them. The lapidary, the one who cuts all the fancy word, the jeweler, you know, the gem cutter, he uses many tools in many different ways. My husband and I are tools that God uses in these girls' lives. Some of the times we have to be a chisel. Some of the times we have to be a hammer. We give them push-ups. We put them on the wall. I had a girl Thursday before I left. We had to restrain three girls because they were cussing and throwing things, and it was just terrible. I hate doing that, except for the fact I get to pray as they're calming down. I get to pray. But I had one girl that was just screaming, and one of my other girls, because my husband's a retired Marine, so we use military, and we have levels, basically, shirt levels. One of my higher girls looked at her as this girl was yelling, "Oh, God, help me," and she looked at her, and she said, "Sweetheart, your prayers aren't going past that ceiling." And this girl got very angry, and I turned around, and I said, "You're not saved," and she went, "Yes, I am." And I said, "No, you're not." I have the gift of sarcasm. But sometimes I have to use it. But I have to know how to use it right, because otherwise it can be a sledgehammer. And I've seen that. I've had staff that used it as a sledgehammer, and it breaks my heart. My husband told me last night that the same young lady, after I looked at her and said, "You can't be saved because you're cussing my God. You're cussing my Savior." Nobody who loves the Lord, who's been saved, would ever do that to him. She went to my husband and said, "What does it mean to be saved?" And because she was taught those false mirrors, those lies. So possibly. Another girl during the missions conference, after the wedding, I got to go home. I didn't tell you all this. I went to this beautiful wedding of one of my gems, and it was so beautiful, and I got home, and a girl we've had who was a really tough girl, I mean, this girl was ready to beat somebody up. One of my staff, the one who made those cupcakes for us, she'd been telling this girl, the girl's name is Miracle. She said, "Miracle, I want to see you get saved." And Miracle said, "Why?" She said, "I love you." And Miracle's right. And one day I looked at her and I said, "I love you." And she just looks at me and I said, "I know you don't believe that, but I do." So I got to come home last Friday with Zoya, and I got to lead Miracle to the Lord. Zoya sat there and cried. Now, Zoya's one of my girls, too. Zoya came to me when she was 15. Zoya's leaving me this May. She'll be 20. And she loves these girls, and she sat there and wept as Miracle prayed. And Miracle said, "You know, Lord, forgive me." And then she said, "Lord, please make me like you." And I thought, praise God, she got it. Because some of the times they don't. A lot of my girls don't get it. They're good at faking. And then they go out, and they go back, and they get those piercings and those tattoos, and it's all my fault because I didn't love them enough. And maybe I didn't, I don't know. But the lapidary, he knows, he can look, and he knows how to shape the gem because he knows what he wants. My husband gave me a diamond that's a heart, and I think it's the most beautiful diamond. I don't understand how they can look at that and say, "I'm going to make a heart out of it." But God knows, and he sees, and he wants to use us, and he uses a saw. There's different kinds of saws, and sometimes I have to be tough. My pastor was at my house one day when a girl acted up, and I got up, got in her face, said, "Don't you ever do that again," and he walked out the door. He met my husband for lunch, and he says, "I never want to see that side of your wife again." But some of the times we have to be tough. My problem is I have to say, my heart has to stay soft, but I have to remain tough. And my church is here, and I thank you because a lot of you pray for me, and you know, and some of you, I just appreciate that. And I know a lot of you pray for me, too, and I really appreciate that, too. In Jude 22 and 23, it says, "And some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh." We had a conference going on several years ago at our church, and that was the verses. And our song leader, Brother Tim, one day looked at my husband. We'd gotten a new girl in, and Brother Tim happened to be there helping us as we were trying to get this girl who was kicking and fighting and threatening to undress herself in front of my husband. Literally, I'm telling you, these girls, I could tell you the stories. Brother Tim said, "I have a whole new appreciation of those verses, that you have to love them, but at the same time, you have to be tough." Most of the time, it is very tough. The girls think we hate them, and there's other people that think we hate them, like this particular mother who thinks that we're brainwashing her daughter. For me personally, this is very tough because it's very easy for me to stop loving the girls. It's very easy for me to forget that that's not them. It's very easy for me to walk in my house and say, "I don't want to be around them anymore. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of pouring out and pouring out and seeing some success, and then they'll turn around and make a silly decision." This young lady that I told you about that I fought God over, she had finally determined she was going to stay. And on her 18th birthday, her parents came and picked her up. She went home, and mom and dad both are in prison for cooking meth. The girl is out. She still keeps in contact with me, but she's definitely not living the life that I would want her to live. And it's hard. It's heartbreaking on me because some of the times I can see the potential, and I know God has the potential. He just knows. I was going to tell you about the saying, but I already did. If the lovable can love the unlovable, then why can't the unlovable love the unlovable? I think it's so important to look at people and look past what you see, because some of the times there's things going on that I don't know. The girl that came in, when they started telling me about what went on with this girl, and my heart breaks. I got girls from another home not long ago that had actually gotten a hold of a phone and called 911 and said these people were beating them, and none of it's true. And the girls that I have recanted, but they're so capable of doing this. Many of them have done it at home. Many of these girls have never had any discipline, but they've been abused. And as I said, we use many forms. We work. We've got a garden, and they're out planting the garden. They were moving compost piles. One of them got to move it by herself because she was throwing such a terrible fit. We give them push-ups. We use any form of discipline. And some of the times with each girl, something else works, something different works. But we have to be that tool. Then there's the grinder. The grinder gems the gem into just a rough shape, and that's when they get saved. We've broken through some of the hardness just by being honest and looking at them. And I had a girl, I've just got so many stories. I had a girl that we'd had for, 3 or 4 years, and she would do good, and then she wouldn't do good, and she would do good, and finally, one day, I looked at her, and I said, "I don't think you're saved." And she got mad. I mean, this girl got mad. She wouldn't speak to me for about a month. Every time she looked at me, she just glared, and I thought, and Outdoor Revival, we got to lead her to the Lord, and she got saved, and she's not the same girl. She's my secretary, and she's leaving too. These girls, I've just got to do something. They can't leave anymore. And it's really neat when they get to that point where they love the Lord, and they want to serve me, and they want to take care of me, and then they go and leave me. I just don't understand that. I understand your pain. I do. When they get saved, they're nowhere near the gem God wants them to be, but they don't look like that worthless rock anymore. They start to change, and it's a painful process, and it's painful in my life when God has to start chipping away. Then there's the sander, and that's God's word. That God uses this, and we give devotions. We go to church every time the doors open, or at least every time we can. Like I said, we had a girl on New Year's Eve ripping her Bible up and cussing. Preacher thought he was going to get to restrain her. That would have been a sight. Bible reading, they have to read their Bible every morning for half an hour. Well, they have to sit down with their Bible in front of them and at least look at it. I can't make them read it, but that is a requirement. They're required to learn verses. They say Colossians 3 and all of the dorm rules every morning before breakfast. And then they say Philippians 4 and Ephesians 6 before lunch. And then they say Psalms 119 before dinner. And they have to say them before they eat. They say it as a group collectively, and they learn it because we believe God's word is so important. And they have promotion. I mentioned the different colors. I'm a purple shirt. I'm almost there. We have different colors, and they have different requirements, and they have verses they have to learn. And most of the verses are in the heart because out of it are the issues of life. And we know that if their heart changes, then they change. And then there's devotions. We do devotions every evening, one-on-one counseling, and just they start learning to edify each other using verses. And all scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, I loved it. All scripture is given by inspiration for doctrine. Doctrine's what is right. I didn't know that until he that was so awesome. I'm so glad he taught us that. Reproof, what is wrong. Correction, how to get right. And then instruction, how to stay right. And that goes for us too, but we use the Bible for everything because I can't change these girls. I can't make them do anything. They'll conform, and I have some. I have many, unfortunately, many, many stories I could tell you of girls who were good fakes and aren't doing well now. And they think they won, and in reality, they lost. Then there's what they call the lap, and it's the slowest procedure. It's what cuts the fat sits in. And that's just it's just walking with the Lord on a day-to-day basis. Another story, and I am just about done, but another story is we had a girl leave very bitter. It was a strange situation. Grandma adopted her, so her aunt / sister hated us, wanted money. Literally, that's what she wanted. The girl left and said all sorts of terrible things. There's just some really terrible things. And one day, I guess it's about 2 years ago now, I got an email from this young lady, and it started out, "I know you may not believe this with our history, but I want to thank you because everything you taught me I'm putting in my life." She said, "I'm pregnant and I'm going to have a little girl." And she said, jokingly, I said, "If my daughter turns out like me, my life's going to be terrible." That's not exactly what she said, but and she said, I joked, and she said about 2-3 days later, I realized that's true. If I don't change something, my daughter's going to be just like me. And she said, "I thank you." And she keeps in contact. She's called me. So some of the times we don't always see the fruit until long after, but the Lord continues, and I have to trust that he's going to. Gems, I told you all the terrible things. The girls are ugly, defective, useless, worthless. But gems are beautiful. They're treasured. They're precious. They're priceless. And I have to remind myself almost every day that these girls are gems. They're not a rock. But they're beautiful. That's what God wants to make them. He sees it, and some of these have nothing in it. And I do believe that there's girls who'll go out of my place that will live the most wicked life and probably will never get saved. But then there's these, that they're beautiful. I don't see the gems. Many times I don't see the impact. And I told you, I have one of my girls is here, and she's married. She's got a beautiful little girl that she's going to bring down to visit me someday. She's been by, and she's told her testimony. She has a heart for the girls because she knows. And I hope she understands that. I know there were times that she probably hated me, but I loved her. And I loved her enough because that's what I want to see. So many of you are in church. Understand there's people out there who are hurting. And sometimes we don't see it. We don't see. We have a ministry, I can't even think of the name, Hope. Like, I should remember that. And some of these people come in rough. Boy, they're rough, but God knows. So that's what we do, and I thank you. I really appreciate it. I hope. Anybody has any questions, they can ask me, and I do have the fill in the blank. I forgot I didn't go through it all. I'm really bad. So if anybody's interested, I do have it, and you can get if you're really... Thank you.